Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we have gone super casual today.
We have. Yep. I realized I have a full-on like football coach look going on right now.
The hat, the headphones.
Oh, yeah. Calling the plays on the side of the field.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, you're missing out on Coach Katie.
Yep. Coach Katie. And I'm just in my sweats again.
Yep. I feel like that's going to end up happening more and more as we keep like just easing into the comfort of the podcast and
that, and with it just being so cold out.
Yeah. It's just cozy clothes.
Yeah.
Season that like I never want to put on anything other than sweatpants and a giant sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That's just like my uniform, I feel like, while I'm at home.
Right. Yeah. I was going to put on real clothes and then I saw how casual you were. Yeah. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll just keep wearing what I'm wearing.
Might as well not make me look any more ridiculous than I already do.
Yeah. So these are the sweatpants that I wear when I'm home pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that black pair of sweatpants that I'd kind of forgotten about.
Yeah.
That had gotten buried in the drawer.
Right. They usually end up down a little bit below all the other things that you wear.
Yeah. And so these ones were dirty. And so I pulled out the black ones. I was just wearing them around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Nora saw me. And she looks at me, she goes, Dad, she goes, I'm not used to seeing you wear sweatpants.
Nora, wait.
I was like, first of all, what do you think I wear at home all the time? And I guess these are...
They're a little bit fancier sweatpants, more athletic looking.
More athletic. The black ones have like the elastic. They're just more like...
More like classic.
Classic sweatpant look.
Sweatpants, yeah. These are like athleisure. And those are just like straight leisure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I could tell that you didn't know. You didn't know what that word was, did you? At first,
I've never heard the word. Athleisure. I got it quickly. It's a thing. What you meant, but
it's an actual like type of clothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Athletic leisure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Nora said that.
Yeah.
And I was just laughing so hard. Like, Nora, you see me wear sweatpants at home every day at some point.
Literally every single day.
And she was like, oh, I guess I just didn't realize that those were sweatpants.
She has a very interesting take on fashion, though.
Yeah.
She's coming into a little bit more of like a normal fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she has gone through very interesting phases of what she thinks actually goes together.
Yeah.
And like what's appropriate during seasons. And she has had some really fun phases. Mm-hmm. People probably think like out in public, like, whoa, that mom really doesn't know how to dress her kids.
Yeah.
Hopefully people are smart enough to realize like they're dressing themselves.
Right. And we just don't really care that much about whether or not their outfit matches.
Yeah. Every now and then. Like, there are times for sure where it's like, no, you're going to wear this and you're going to look like a decent human being.
Yeah.
But most of the time I'm like, hey, why would I, like, make this another thing that I have to worry about if it's just more fun for you to dress yourself anyways?
Right. It's only going to cause tension if I try to force you to wear something I want you to wear.
Absolutely.
And it's, like you said, usually totally unnecessary.
Right. Yeah. And they just, you know. That's another area that they get to exercise their little freedoms of just getting to choose to wear bright pink polka dots with a green and yellow striped shirt or whatever.
Yep. So what else happened this week? It was my birthday.
Your birthday. Birthday
week. A
couple
days ago. Birthday week.
Yep. In your mid-30s.
Yep. Officially. 34.
How does it feel to be old?
Feels great.
I'm still in my early 30s, so.
Yeah, you will be for a while.
I mean, like another year or two, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, birthday was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to dinner.
We did.
Nice
kid
restaurant.
Free. Completely kid free.
Yeah, left the baby and everything.
Yep. And he slept the whole time.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't even do here.
Yeah, we were gone for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And he slept pretty much the whole time.
It's amazing. Yeah, your mom said she woke him up.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. When we texted her that we were coming home, she was like, well, I'm going to go get him up so that at least I get some time to spend with him.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
He might have just thought he was, like, down for the night. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
And Nora's birthday is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
As yep. while we're recording this, yep. it's tomorrow. So
he's a big 7 year old.
7 years old.
Which that actually, that does feel older to me.
Yeah.
Than six. Like that feels like she's getting to like be an older kid.
Mm-hmm.
Six still feels kind of young.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I know seven is young too, but it just feels like a bigger number.
Yeah. Well, she's had some frustrations with how certain people have treated her.
Yeah.
She wants to be treated like a big kid, mm-hmm. and she has an idea in her head of what that means.
Mm.
And I think part of it is, so if we talked about how like multiple times Nora has like overheard people talking about her size, like how short she is.
I don't think we have. No.
So she's a year ahead
in school.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, she's so smart.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy how smart she is.
Yeah.
So she's a year ahead and it's not even really like, it's not like she's being challenged by it, it seems.
No, every now and then it's like, okay, you're going to have to like work for this. But mm-hmm. in those moments, it's like, it's so rare that it's yeah. like just instantly annoying to her.
She's yeah, like, right.
I have to think about this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like I have to work to understand this.
Yeah. She's yeah. like, uh-uh.
So because of that, you know, she's a year younger than all the kids in her class.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already small. Compare that to kids who are of average size. A year older.
Yeah.
And she's pretty clearly, I think there may be a few other kids who are yeah, girls she's maybe not who are around like her size.
That much smaller than some of the kids. Even like a couple of the boys sure. are around her size.
Yeah.
But she's definitely like yeah. noticeably smaller than most of her classmates. Yeah. yeah.
So a couple times she's kind of like overheard people talking and not even in like a mean way.
Right.
Even like friends of ours, that yeah. she's just overheard like commenting just yeah. how cute she is yeah. and how, you
cute
know,
cute and tiny she
cute
is.
And tiny, yeah. Yep. And she doesn't like that.
She does not. She's and the so, classic oldest child. Like, I want to be a grown up.
Yeah.
Like, none of this cute and little business.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's got an idea in her head. Now, I did ask her because she was just going on and on one day. Oh, yeah. Because so my mom was wanting to take the girls to the library for right. story time.
Yes.
And she really, I mean, really didn't want to go. And so we got, you know, I talked to her and just got down to the bottom line. It just seemed like that was too much of a little kid thing for her yeah. to do now.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not interested in story time anymore.
No.
And, you know, I tried to get her to go. We tried to spin the helper thing. Like
yeah.
You, like, if you go, you can be one of the big kids who helps the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Still no. And, in that conversation, I did ask her, I said, do you ever feel like me and mom treat you, you know, too much like a little kid?
Mm.
And she said, no. And I could tell the look on her face. She was like, oh, like I hadn't even thought of that. Like
oh,
you guys.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we're meeting her expectation.
Well, there we go.
Treating her like a big kid, whatever that means for her. So,
yeah,
that's been just funny to navigate.
Right. And she, another thing that she says, which is so funny to me. Well, there have been a couple times that it hasn't been funny because she's been so upset about this, but it's always hard to not laugh because she's so upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
But which specifically, there was one time that she was just having this big emotional moment. And I was like, what? Like, I don't even know. Like, it was one of those things that the reaction was way bigger than
yeah.
what, you know, the situation justified. And she, after a little bit of talking through it, she goes, I just want to have kids of my own. And I was like, what? It was
oh
just so out of left field because we weren't even talking about
yeah.
like kids and anything in that ballpark. But she was thinking she just wants to be grown up with her own kids.
That is so funny.
It is hilarious. I never would have thought that we would have a kid who would want to be a parent.
Right.
So quickly.
Yeah. but she is, that's just her personality. She wants to be in charge.
Oh, for sure.
She wants to make the rules.
Yes.
She wants to enforce the rules.
Wait to be in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, she's turning seven tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great segue for us because when kids turn 7 years old, something really important happens.
Oh. I see what you did there.
Worked out very nicely.
It did.
So we found out, and we've heard this before, and I recently did a little more research because I couldn't remember the exact age. And it turns out that when kids turn 7, it's right around there, that, and you can look at, you can do some research and just find that there are like scientific studies mm-hmm. of like the brain developmentally, what happens around this age. And there's something that shifts in their brain. And part of this process, or should I say the result of this process, is that by the time they're around 7 years old, they will have formed their core beliefs about their identity,
mm-hmm.
yeah. which is really crazy.
That is crazy and seems so early.
Yeah,
for those things to be in place.
Right.
Like, I feel like if you didn't have any knowledge of any research done, it would probably be like, I would have, if you would have asked me with zero knowledge, I probably would have guessed in your teens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe even like early 20s, honestly.
Well, yeah, because it's in our 20s that like our brains, I know it's later for guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when that happens for women, but like our brains don't actually
like fully,
fully develop. For guys, it's like, in, I think it's like in your 20s.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's surprising that this happens at 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's really crazy, to put this in like a different perspective, is that for people who have never studied the mind, mm-hmm. who've never studied belief, who have never given like much consideration to the things that they believe
mm-hmm.
about themselves, about, you know, yeah. whatever, that means that for people who haven't really done that work, they are probably still living with the beliefs about themselves that were formed before they were 7 years old.
Yeah. Whoa.
And like, that's, of course, crazy. Of course we know, and I think we'll talk more about this probably in the next couple episodes, but we know that like our brains have something called neuropathways
mm-hmm.
and there are these neuropathways that thoughts kind of travel through.
Right.
And the more often we have a recurring thought, the mm-hmm. easier that path becomes traveled.
Yeah. It's like walking in a forest. If you take mm-hmm. the same path,
right,
every single time, every day, multiple times a day, it's yeah. going to wear a path
yes.
through the forest on the forest floor. But if you're taking multiple different ways, obviously
right.
that's not going to be the case. But if you're thinking that same thought,
right,
it's like you're digging that trench lower and lower every time you think that thought.
Yeah. So the more often you have a recurring thought, we'll say the thought is, I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Say I get used to thinking that. Maybe I grew up, and this is all hypothetical, but let's just say, we'll give a scenario. I grew up being told by people around me that I'm dumb, I'm not smart,
yeah,
whatever. And there's a billion different examples we could give.
Yeah.
But if I grow up believing that I'm stupid and I don't have the tools or the knowledge to correct that,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to live probably the rest of my life with the belief that I'm stupid.
Right.
So the more often I have that recurring thought or something like it,
mm-hmm.
I'm stupid, I'm not smart, I'm an idiot, whatever. Yeah. The first time you may hear something like that, if you told me that now, that thought would have resistance because mm-hmm. I don't have a neural pathway currently that right. allows for that thought to just travel through,
mm-hmm.
right? So that thought is going to be met with resistance.
Right, like, wait, am I?
Right.
I don't know if I am.
Yeah.
Surely that's not true. Yeah.
But tell that to a kid enough times and that neural pathway is going to be formed mm-hmm. and that thought is just going to, it's going to travel right through.
Yeah.
No resistance, no right. problem.
Yeah.
And the more often these thoughts are allowed to remain, the more they become part of our subconscious
mm.
and we start seeing the fruit of those beliefs in our behavior.
Yeah.
Tell a kid that they're stupid and they're going to act stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them they're
right.
whatever it is.
You know? Why would they try to be anything different?
Yeah.
If that's just what they're being told and yeah. what they're beginning to believe
mm-hmm.
or what they fully believe at this point.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, if you're not met with anything else, if you don't have any other encouragement, you know, coming in to contradict
mm-hmm.
what that specific thing being said over you, then it's just like, okay, well, I guess this is what I am.
Yep.
Not yep. going to change it.
Yeah. But again, we know as adults, we know that those neuro pathways can be changed.
Right.
We can reform new ones.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, close down shop on the ones that don't need to be in operation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the terminology that we've been taught to use to describe this is godly beliefs and ungodly beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we all have, to a degree, we have some ungodly beliefs. And what that means is that we have beliefs about ourselves or about God, about other people, about the world,
mm-hmm.
that we believe to be true on the basis of our experience.
Right.
But they're not true on the basis of God's word
mm-hmm.
and what he says.
Yeah.
So there are things that, you know, God believes about us. There are things that he thinks about us.
Mm-hmm.
And the pathway to us living according to our true identity is discovering his thoughts about us mm-hmm. and agreeing with them.
Right. Exactly.
So we need to know what he thinks about us. What does he say about us?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really big deal for kids while they're growing up. Because now that we know all that we do about, you know, neuroscience and how the brain works and the power of belief and the power of words,
mm-hmm.
we are really intentional with our kids
in
helping them form godly beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need them for the rest of their life, but especially in these early formative years, we need them thinking thoughts about themselves that are shared with God.
Yes, absolutely. There's no higher way to think.
Yeah.
So for us as parents, we mm-hmm. want our kids to have the highest way of thinking
mm-hmm.
about themselves, about God, about others.
Yeah.
And so what better way to do that than match it with what the Lord says about us?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And in an effort to help people navigate this with their own kids,
mm-hmm.
we have some exciting news.
We do.
Go ahead.
Ooh. So excited. We officially have a kid's book out.
We have a kid's book.
So I think we had like a little like teaser about this.
We've said mentioned it several weeks ago.
That it was like in the works.
We mentioned it.
And getting close. But now it's officially out and available.
we're really cutting it close with Christmas.
Yes.
And that wasn't our plan. It's just, this is our first go at mm-hmm. this, and we, you know, we don't know how long things take.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, our own copy won't be here till tomorrow.
Right.
So we don't have one to show you. We'll have it probably every week for the foreseeable mm-hmm. future.
Right.
We'll have that. We're going to talk about it because we think it's really important.
Yes. And we do know that it is like good quality because your parents have one.
Parents.
Long story short.
Yeah.
We live in like a black hole of delivery, apparently.
Yeah.
For
where my
mail
parents live,
service.
They get things from Amazon shipped much faster to
so
them
quickly.
Than we do.
Yeah.
They
it
ordered
takes like
a day.
7 days to get here.
They ordered a day after us and mm-hmm. it came a day before ours. Ours will come tomorrow. Anyways.
Makes no sense.
Anyways, we have had visual confirmation.
Yep.
Looks great.
Yep.
It's ready to go.
It's what we wanted.
We are going to start marketing this thing and pushing it on social media
mm-hmm.
and everything. But why don't you talk through just the premise of the book?
Yeah. So this book is something that has been in the works since before we even had kids.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. Which in the works is kind of a loose term. It was like in our brains mm-hmm. for a while. And then, well, really, I guess it was mostly just like in my brain for a while. And then.
Yeah, this was your idea.
You got in like for the intro and mm-hmm. throughout the process of the book too. Which I love that it became like a product of both of our minds too. Cause mm-hmm. I feel like that just makes it feel more.
It's fun to do creative projects together.
But back to the book. This was something that we realized was extremely important as parents to align. There's so many different pieces of it, but as parents to align our thoughts about our kids with mm-hmm. God's thoughts about our kids.
Right.
Because
if we want our kids to grow up believing true things about them from mm-hmm. God's perspective, that needs to begin with us being able to do that.
Right. And speak that over them.
Right.
Before they can speak mm-hmm. it over themselves. And So from the time Nora before, or from the time she was conceived, I can't remember exactly how early we started declaring these things over, but it was very early that we made a list of things that we pulled from scripture, things like you are loved, you are joyful,
all the fruit of the spirit.
Fruit of the spirit. And even like pulling things, which I don't know that you could necessarily tie this to a specific scripture, but like not being accident prone, having things like that.
Yeah. Like and you're generous. Mm-hmm. You're creative.
Yes.
And I think like a lot of what we pulled from was just understanding God's own character and his nature.
Yeah.
Because as people who were created in his image and his likeness, like we believe that he created us to be like him.
Right.
And there are a few different layers to this. I won't go far with this right now, but in terms of like our spiritual formation, and we've talked about this, but there are things we can do to bring our mind into order,
right,
things that we can do to bring our body into order. Mm-hmm. And so the mind is not the only key to walking in Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
But it's been said, as I've studied this, it seems like it's pretty generally accepted that like the mind is like the gateway to the soul.
Mm, yeah.
And so if we're going to bring our soul, which is the whole of our being, into alignment with the truth about who God says we are, and if we're going to actually live according to who he says we are and do the things he says we can do,
right,
a really good starting place for that is the mind and getting ourselves and our kids to believe true things about ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And if that's something that we can get them to believe from the very start, like declaring those things over them from the time that from their first day on earth, you know, like then that is, you know, in the goal of this book really is to set that as a foundation for our kids, that they wouldn't have anything else differently or anything differently spoken over them other than God's truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course there's going to be moments where they hear it from somebody else or we have a moment of, you know, weakness and frustration and we say something that we wouldn't really mean to say, you know. But even in those moments, when you have that foundation of who God says you are, what God believes about you, then those things, like we were talking about the neural pathways, are set.
They're being formed.
And they're being formed. And instead of those lies that are spoken over you really like sinking in, it can kind of bounce off, you know, instead of causing any more damage than it needs to.
If I believed that I was, use a different example. Let's just say I believe that I'm just like unlovable, right? For somebody to try to convince me that I am lovable, if I'm a fully grown man with this neural pathway formed that allows I'm unlovable to just operate on a subconscious level, that's going to be like a major uphill battle for me to change that. It can be done.
Yeah.
But to change that belief is going to be an uphill battle.
Right.
And so we wanted to set our kids up with success so that it's not an uphill battle to believe about themselves, what God believes about them.
Right.
And that it's not going against the grain or that they're not experiencing resistance to believing those things. And so we wanted that for our kids.
Yep.
And we also thought, well, maybe we could help other people.
Yeah. Right.
Do this and too.
It's such a simple thing to do over your kids and takes 5 minutes. You know, to probably go through the book. And obviously ours is not the only resource out there, you know, but we did look and try to find things that were like exactly like the book that we just put out. And we couldn't really find anything that was just like it.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's see what happens.
Let's do it.
So I guess some more details of the book too. It is meant for really, I mean, it can be for any age.
Yeah.
But as far as like artwork and like facets of the book go, really it is like targeted towards younger kids because it's got the alphabet in it from A to Z, you know, the declarations from A to Z. So we take each letter of the alphabet and we have joined it up with a declaration. And so each page is going to have a letter of the alphabet on it with the declaration, also with a little animal that starts with that letter. And so I felt like it would just be, you know, just some extra little educational things thrown in there. I know as a parent, I value content. We've talked about this. We value content that is actually like, that's educational, but also fun to look at.
Yep.
And is fun for us to read.
Yeah.
And also can like help us in return.
Yeah.
You know, that's not like the main goal to like help us, obviously, but in setting a goal to raise your kids with truth as their foundation, as God's, with God's truth as their foundation.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before, it's essential that we have God's truth as our foundation first. And so with this book, as you're reading it to your kid, you're going to be speaking truth over them while also like, yes, it's coming from like God's truth, but while you're reading God's truth over them, that's going to be shaping your mindset towards your children as well.
Yeah.
So there have been so many times where I have like been in moments with the kids of like just feeling like, oh my goodness. You know, like there are days where I just kind of have it up to here. Like today, honestly, was one of those days where I was like, I cannot be needed anymore.
Yeah.
But really like having said those declarations over all of our kids almost every day at some point with all of them, like it's very easy to fall back onto that and say, okay, take a breath and remember like you're loved, you're joyful, you're patient. And then remembering that, yes, that is actually their true identity. They may not be acting out of that right now, but this is what we've set them up for success with.
Yeah.
And I can fall back on this and believe it for myself as much as I want you to believe it. And so, yes, as a parent, as you're reading this book, it's our hope that these truths would become just as solid in your own mind as you want them to be in your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of ended up creating this book in a way, like you said, that it can benefit kind of like every person in every stage, which is really fun for me. And even like writing, so in writing the little like intro bit and the outro bit, I was thinking way more of the parents in writing that.
Right.
Because like we just really appreciate when creators of kids content think about the parents. Like we love Bluey because it's so funny.
It's so like relatable.
Yeah.
To and you can look at it and be like, yeah, I actually experienced that yesterday with my kids.
It's relatable. Yep. It's funny. That's why we like a lot of Disney movies.
Yeah.
Have humor that go over our kids' heads, but we just find hysterical.
Yep.
And we really appreciate that. And so I wanted to write a part of this book thinking about the parents, but it's also like it rhymes and it's, you
right.
know,
yeah.
and it's fun to read.
And it's like easy enough that like a kid can grasp what is being said in the intro and outro. But I think, I mean, like even when I read it for the first time, that I think it was specifically the intro when you showed it to me the first time, I was like crying like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Oh yeah. And the whole process was just really fun. And like, I don't know, it's such a simple book, but I also feel like it's going to be really profound for a lot of people,
really
because
helpful.
It was extremely profound for us too, of realizing like how instrumental our words can be in our kids' lives.
Yeah.
And will be in our kids'
words
lives.
Words are so important.
Yes.
They're so powerful. The words that we speak.
Right.
And that's, like the words that we hear and the words that we speak are like one of the primary ways that our beliefs are formed.
Right.
Yeah.
It is wild. Just like how many things Because, like, I would never claim to have, like, a really great memory. Honestly, there are so many things that I'm like, I don't remember what happened then. Like, if somebody says something, it'll, like, spark a memory. But there are multiple things that people have said to me that I remember what they said. I don't remember what was going on in the moment. I don't remember, you know, what happened before or after then, but I remember what was said and good and bad.
Yeah.
And so if we as parents can take every opportunity that we can to speak life over our kids, like that is what's going to just give them a really great chance of living out of their true identity as a son or daughter.
Yeah. Just a good way to set them up for success.
Yeah.
As they move beyond, you know, seven and seven and beyond. I wanted to read the intro. I'm trying to think if I remember it.
Yeah.
If I start going, we'll see.
Okay.
If I remember it. So it says, this book has declarations, things to be said. This is one way of getting God's truth in your head. Our minds can be shaped by the words that we say. So these declarations are just one simple way to know what God's like and what he can do, and to think the same thoughts that he thinks about you. God's the creator. What he says is true and is something he wants you to know about you. You're loved. You're seen. He calls you by name. His thoughts never change. They're always the same. You've been made in his image. It's not something to achieve. So say these declarations until you learn to believe. And then I remembered it. I can't believe it all came back to me. And then from there, it goes into, you know, the first page, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Next page, I am brave. And it goes through the whole alphabet.
Yeah.
And then this little outro that I'm not going to remember that right now.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah.
The intro is pretty impressive, though, that you remembered all that.
I can't believe I remembered that.
I guess we did take a lot of time, like, doing little tweaks here and there.
So
and
many
trying
tweaks.
To find rhyming words that actually made sense and finding the right, like.
Yeah.
What is it? A canon?
What is that word?
Canon?
Cadence.
Cadence. Yep. Not canon. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's so good.
We're really excited.
We are.
And for our listeners, we're probably going to be talking about this for a little while. But there's just so much more that we can say.
Yeah.
That we haven't said yet, even just about like forming godly beliefs and discovering ungodly beliefs, and we can talk more about the process of how that works and how it affects every aspect of our life. It's super important.
So important. Yeah. And I guess I will say another thing with the book that is fun is that, like, obviously when you have a newborn, like, if you do any amount of research, you'll find that it's always so beneficial to start reading from the time, even when they can't even like see the book yet, or focus on the book. It's always good for your child to hear your voice, to hear, you know, the truth spoken over them. Like their little heart's gonna receive it, and their little spirit's gonna receive it, even if they have no idea what's going on. But one thing that I do love about the book is that obviously, like, the declarations, the separate ones are like, I am this, I am this. But like when you are a parent reading it over your baby to before, you know, through beginnings of talking age, like you can change that to saying like you are. So you're directly speaking that over them. But then when your child starts talking, you can make the switch and have them say it over themselves.
Right.
Which is just, I love a good interactive book.
Yeah.
And so do our kids. Like anytime they can like jump in and say something, and like kids are phenomenal at memorizing things too.
Yeah.
So like our kids, or at least Nora, I don't know that Izzy has gotten, well, no, she did too for a little while, gotten to a point where she like would just start saying.
Yeah.
The declarations over herself, like in the middle of
sometimes
the day.
Sometimes just randomly.
It was like, I'm patient, I'm kind. We just hear her like playing by herself, just saying these things, which like is so funny and just also just the best. Just knowing that like that is something that's echoing in their minds.
Yeah.
And so when you have this routine of saying these things with your kid, it's just, it's really amazing to see that, like, the product in their lives of how they talk to themselves, mm-hmm. and how they treat themselves and how they treat other people.
Right.
You know, like, even I think Izzy, there was a couple times where she would like come, and she's so just like loving and tender, mm-hmm. and just would like rub my face and be like, "You're loved, mommy." You know, like, yeah. "You're a so patient sweet. Mommy." You know, like, so they start saying it over other people too, which, like, yeah. who doesn't want a little 3-year-old coming up to them and saying, "Hey, you're so patient. You're so yeah. kind." You know, like, it's yeah. so, it's amazing. And like, it's unfortunate that that is rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd hope, and well, I was going to say something else, but I'll just say this instead, that like, as believers, that should be a normal thing for mm-hmm. us to speak those types of things over each other and yeah. over ourselves.
Sure.
But it's way more often that we find negativity in the world.
Yeah.
And so this is just one little way that we're hoping to kind of change the narrative and
yeah.
turn some or bring some more positivity into the world by mm-hmm. speaking truth over ourselves and our kids, and then having them say it over themselves too.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can find a link to this book in the show notes on the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, same thing. We'll put it in the description.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're not following us on social media, we'll have, I've been putting links to all that in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, if you're watching, you can find all that. So follow us on social media. If you are watching on YouTube, do us a huge favor, super simple, but super helpful, is like this video, subscribe. If you want to leave a comment. We love that.
Yep.
But just leave us a review of any form. It's a small thing that goes a long way for yeah. these types of ventures.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate any of it.
Yep. All right. I think that's good.
Yep. Sounds good.
Great. All right. Go get you a copy of our book and let us know what you think. If you follow us on social media or on Instagram specifically in our link tree, we have a way for you to send us an email. So I've been thinking we may be getting to the point now. It may be fun to start giving people opportunity to send in questions or...
Yeah.
You know,
that would be really
questions
fun.
Or request, you know, topics or mm-hmm. if there's anything that anybody would maybe want us to revisit or bring more clarification to.
Yeah.
Our email is available. You can send us a message, leave a comment, do that mm-hmm. however you want.
I think that can be some of the most fun, like, part of doing this type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing this just so we can hear ourselves talk. Like,
no.
We want engagement.
We want to
know what you think, good and bad.
Yeah.
Try not to be too mean, but.
We are very welcoming of feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's how we grow.
Yeah.
And so we want to do things that you guys like. We don't want to just be sitting here and.
Yeah.
You having all these thoughts of like, well, they could do this better or this better. And then we just keep doing the same thing over.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. And once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.